Welcome to Inside Legion, the podcast that takes place inside David Holler's mind. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
Thanks for the pause there, Pete. Take your time. No need to jump right in because
Pete's
we're
in
all
a different.
What?
He's in a different part of the brain. He's like down where the like bathroom stuff is.
The medulla oblongata, perhaps.
Yeah, he's just checking to see if it's time to pee or time to poop.
Sweet.
For David Holler.
That's gross, man.
Real adult baby stuff going on here. We're talking about the first episode of Legion Season 3, Chapter 20. This is the official kickoff to the final season of Legion, and boy am I sad. I am so sad to see this show go, particularly after this first episode here, which, oh man, this is, we talk about every episode of this podcast, how good the show is, but this is also one of, if not the most confident show on TV.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this show is so good. It just, this episode starts so far away from the actual story.
Yeah.
And then just takes us there in a way that it's just, you can't look away. It's so visually interesting. It's so interesting. Every facet of it. I love it.
Yeah, it's really intense and over the top and beautiful and tripped out. It's really just so unique of a television show. Every episode, it's just exciting to see what we're going to get.
Yeah, that's sort of how I've started to sell it to people a little bit, because I was trying to tell some people why they should watch the show. And it's tough to be like, oh, yeah, it's a spinoff of the X-Men movie series. You know how it is. All good. Because that's absolutely not true. I tried to describe it to somebody. I was like, you just don't know what it's going to be second to second. Sometimes it is a musical. Sometimes it is an action TV show. Sometimes it's something else. And that's what's so cool about it.
It's a show. I can do it pretty easily. It's a show where we follow the heroic exploits of Amal Farouk, the Shadow King, as he goes to take on the number one villain in the X-Men universe, David Holler, a.k.a. Legion.
Yeah, he's a pretty big guy. Well, let's get into the recap on that note, because lots of stuff going on and going into this episode. The primary one you just mentioned is David Holler, our ostensible hero, turned out to be the villain at the end of the last season in a very real way, where he wiped the memory of his girlfriend, Sid. He took advantage of her and essentially raped her, and it was not anything that anybody was willing to forgive very quickly or at all. And
or as they should, you can't forget.
He disappeared with Lenny, his former best friend that also used to be part of his mind. That's probably the simplest way to put it. She left to be with him to help him out on his journey. The opposite end of the spectrum, as you mentioned, is Amal Farouk, the former parasite known as the Shadow King, who lived inside of David's head. Amal turned out to be helping. Oh God, I always get away. Division 3, is that what it is?
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, could be. Division 3, the mutant soldier task force that is now, as we pick up this season, as we find out, is going after David, is their main MO, the thing that's going on with him. So Division 3 is made up of a bunch of different folks. There's Clark, who is a human. He was scarred horribly by David way back in the premiere of the show. There's also two characters that you should probably know about that are super important. Justin, could you explain who they are?
Sure. They are two characters that exist in the same body. Right. One a man, the other a woman, and they're named Carrie and
both
Carrie.
Both named Carrie. Yep. Both have the same
name. No. They're different names. No. They're different names. Spelled differently. They're Carrie and Carrie, Pete.
Yeah. Can you hear the difference, Pete?
You're saying the same thing twice.
Maybe it's like being colorblind, but you're like character blind.
Yeah, you're Carrie blind. Or Carrie blind, yeah. Because, or maybe you're Carrie blind. I can't tell.
I think he's Carrie blind.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely one of the two. So there are two characters. Carrie is the action person. She jumps into combat. She seems to be super strong, but I don't think we've ever got any definition of her powers necessarily. And then there's Carrie, who's the brain of the operation, played by Bill Irwin. He is a super scientist in the classic Marvel mode. Other characters you probably know about on that side of things. There's also Tonomy, who we thought died last season. His brain was taken inside of a supercomputer run by Admiral Fukuyama, and he seemed to, his body died and disappear forever. Clearly, as we find out this episode, that didn't in fact happen. We also mentioned Sid. Sid's power is to touch people and become them, or touch creatures and become them, though that doesn't really come into play here. She was obviously very hurt by David, very destroyed by what happened with him, because they were almost two halves of the same person the way that they were presented the last season. And the other thing that you should probably know, which you may know from the comic books, but David's parents are Gabriel Haller, who's a regular human, and Professor Xavier, you probably know as Professor X. Charles Xavier, a.k.a. Jamie Mack, a.k.a. Patty Stews, a.k.a. Probably a couple of other folks.
Patty Stews.
Anyway, famous character, really showed up yet, but we're going to find out a little bit more about him this season. And that's kind of what you need to know going into this episode. So let's jump into it. As mentioned, we start in the first half of the episode with an entirely new character who later on we find out she's named Switch. A little bit of background on this actress. She is an actress named Lauren Tsai, and she has no acting roles. She was previously on a show called Terrace House, which was a reality show very popular in Asian countries. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But I thought she was awesome in this episode. I thought she was so, so good.
I would like to say before we kind of officially get...
Do you guys want to walk us through this at all? Justin, do you want to do that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Before we do, I just wanted to say one thing I want to touch upon is that Aubrey Plaza is a national treasure, and this show gets to showcase her range and how amazing she is.
She wasn't in the episode a lot, though, Pete.
Still a national treasure.
Okay, just a small treasure.
By the way, we talked about this last episode. You're going to go see Child's Play, Pete?
No, I'm not. I don't like scary movies.
Yeah, but Aubrey Plaza is in it. If she's a national treasure, it's kind of like you're going and shitting on Abraham Lincoln's lap.
Wow, man.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of a jump.
I mean, that's if you're gonna do that with national treasures... that's where we're going. That's what's happening right now.
That's a classic thing to do, is a form of protest, is shitting on Abraham Lincoln's lap.
All right. Let's keep going.
I'll dive in.
Yeah, go for it.
So we kick off the show with kick off the episode with learning a little bit about some rules of time travel.
Yes. Now, this is not to immediately stop you one sentence into the recap.
No, but that's good. That's all I got. I'd like to time travel back and restart that.
Okay. So we're X-Men fans. We're comic book fans, right? We enjoy the X-Men comic books.
Sure.
Yeah. Switch, famous character in the X-Men comic books, right?
Yeah. Very huge, famous. Famous.
What's your favorite Switch storyline?
There's this one where Switch goes, is with the boring old Wolverine. Uh-huh. And they, briefly switch places.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So Switch is a nothing character who's part of the Hellions, which is the New Mutants-esque team that exists in the Hellfire Club, which is essentially the evil Westchester Academy. Switch in the comics is a dude, and B, doesn't have the same powers at all. Switch, in fact, switches minds with people, hence the name. Yeah. This is something entirely different. And then beyond that, this is very much jumping ahead, but as we discover over the episode, Switch, it seemingly has two time travel powers. She can fast forward through her own timeline, and then she can also travel to some other dimension where she can go back in time by chunks of time. Right. As far as I could recall, this is like no other power that I've ever seen in the comics.
Don't forget about the demon dog, that she can't go too far back or she'll upset the demon dog.
Yeah. Yes, that is another thing. But just talking about the time travel thing, there's so many different time travel powers we've seen in the comics. Is there anything even remotely similar?
Not in the same, because I love the way, I mean, leave it to Noah Hawley, the creator of the show, the showrunner, the way that he does everything so practically, as opposed to having her just, like, jump through a portal. We've seen that 100 times. Like, she goes to it, like, what looks like an airport and chooses a different doorway with a different time demarcation on it with a demon dog down in the dark side of the hallway that is slowly getting closer. Like, so interesting. So cool. I love it.
Yeah, me too. So original. So Switch, as we follow her, we learn a lot of stuff about her. We learn that her father isn't present. We learn later on that he has a room full of what she calls robots, though we don't really get to see what's inside of that.
Yeah.
And clearly something is missing in her life, right?
Yeah, also, it has like a fun kind of like Matrix start to it, where like she's getting kind of messages that she's got to kind of follow.
Yeah, she's getting these messages. Well, my point is that she... clearly something is not working in her life. And then based on that, she ends up following these messages to down the rabbit hole, essentially, like literally down a rabbit hole at a certain point. But it's pretty clear early on that these are from Lenny. These are from David. We don't actually find out why they need a time traveler this episode. Do you have any theories at this point?
The one that came to mind instantly for me was David wants to go back in time to fix his mistakes so he can get back
exactly,
with Sid.
Exactly, yeah.
So he's been planting these messages in different forms of media, trying to find a time-traveling mutant, and then he finally gets one with Switch.
Yeah, I do wonder whether he's like, I want to go back and fix everything with Sid and make everything better, or if he has another plan at this point. This is very much jumping forward, but one of the things that I really liked about this episode in particular is it does an excellent job of making it clear that David is not the hero. Like, it isn't like, and now he's going on his redemption arc. He is a villain in this episode.
But even beyond that, he's like a jackass.
Yeah.
Like, he's a dick. And it's really, I give them so much credit for just committing to that and making him not only of the evil villain, but also the shithead villain of the episode. Really great move.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing to do because it isn't something that we've seen on TV before. We've seen villain origin stories at length on lots of other shows, but never as the focus. Like, it's always to contrast the hero, and the focus is always on the hero. Here, Dan Stevens playing David Holler, he is the focus of the show. He's the title character, but he's the bad guy, and he's probably only going to get worse by the end of the series, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And also, he didn't start that way. We didn't know we were watching a villain kind of origin story. We thought we were watching a hero origin story, and then the team switched.
No, I've been rooting for the Shadow King the whole time.
Oh, wow. Really?
You were rooting for Legion?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, actually, now that you say that, though, that is pretty true to the comics, right? Like, Legion is the bad guy.
Yeah, I from the beginning, I was like, that big yellow guy that looks insane and is terrifying? That's
the demon
hero
with the yellow
show.
Eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of guy you want to get a beer with.
Exactly, and that's how I decide everything in my life.
Yes.
Do I want to get a beer with this person, place, or thing?
Yeah, when somebody tells me they like wine, I'm like, no thanks, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. But unless it's a bottle of wine that I feel like I could get a beer with.
Oh,
I think I could sit down and get a beer with this bottle of wine.
Like a nice Chardonnay? Like have a nice conversation with it? You're like, you're a nice Chardonnay. I'm going to order a Gulch.
Colts. Chardonnay's love IPA.
Oh, man,
it's a
do
classic.
They? Because it rhymes?
Yeah.
I actually paused there for a second because I was like, Chardonnay, IPA, ooh, too much of a rhyme. I'll go with something else that doesn't rhyme. But I think you're right.
Well, Nice. It's always the worst thing to rhyme, just as Shakespeare.
Okay, but just to actually get back on track, which I'm sure our listeners might appreciate, let's talk about what goes on with Switch, because there's so many amazing moments that happen here with her as she starts to figure out this mystery. Justin, yeah. You want to...
Sure, right out of the gate, like this, you ever seen the movie Run, Lola, Run?
Yeah.
From like the late 90s? This really reminded me of that. I love that you sort of into this world, you don't quite know the rules, but it feels a little futuristic. You got the basket is watching, find the orange fish. She uses her laser finger to make a box. And just like every episode of this show, it's hard to tell what's real and what's not. Right at the top, I was like, I don't know. This could be real, maybe not. Follow the yellow bus. It's a red bus with the word yellow on it. Boom.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Think
such a good moment.
Differently.
Yeah, there you go. It's like Apple, right? Is that Think Differently or is that IBM that Think Differently?
I don't know, but they fucked up because you don't know the difference.
Whatever, man. I'll just buy all the computers just to be sure.
Wow. Smart. Dude, bold. You're getting a Dell.
Nice. So Switch eventually figures it out, and she ends up at this store, and it's a very surreal store. It's in a white space. She's talking to the people. She's trying to track them down through these clothes. Pete, I know because I was watching you watch the episode, you were super upset about the clothes thing.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those things where I really love the imagery of her finding this place, like her going through that those tubes and stuff, really artistically done. And this store we end up at with the clothes shifting back and forth. It was just, she was being a little too polite for me, and I was upsetting watching the counter go by so many times without her doing or saying anything. And yeah. It was so obvious she had to yell orange fish. I was yelling orange fish the whole time.
That's true. But also, I would say never go shopping with Pete because it's just like that.
It's intense.
Very stressful. They move any piece of clothing. He's like, orange fish!
That's a
and
good
impression.
And it
doesn't get him anything.
But as a plus, every time he goes shopping, he ends up in a different cult. So it's all
That's
good.
True. The Cuckoo
I also
Cola
end up
cult.
With a lot of orange fishes.
So yeah. She does shout orange fish, at which point she unlocks what they're talking about. Orange fish is salmon. And she ends up in a musical number. They all start singing, and that sends her to the cult that David is running. As she crawls through a bunch of tubes that take her through seemingly the entire world, she finally ends up there. Getting back to that, and we'll talk about this also, I'm sure, at the end, because we always end every episode with what's real and what wasn't real.
Yeah, we know.
You guys know this. Does the cult, like, what's happening to her? Does the cult, does this place exist just in David's mind, or... What is going on here? What's your take on it?
Well, I thought it just existed in his mind for a lot of this. I actually thought that the whole episode was inside his mind, and Switch is one of the many personalities that exist in his mind, and her finding him was sort of rising to the top of gaining prominence, and maybe he will get her time travel powers. But by the end of the episode, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, Pete, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I felt like it was like she wasn't in his mind. She was just in this kind of like crazy dimension that she also has access to. And, you know, it went in and out of David's mind and then this other dimension where we got to see like other of our heroes interact as well.
Yeah, I feel like I've reached the point, and this is probably the worst point as a critic to be at, but it doesn't matter, you know, that I don't think we're going to have an explosion. I don't think the last hour of the show is going to be like, and just to lay it out for you, here's what was real. It was not real. Just real quick. That's not going to happen. Instead, it exists in this surreal world where almost anything is possible. And things like the white space with the clothes certainly seem like they're being manipulated by mutant powers, that they're not happening in the real world. But then things like Switch crawling through a bunch of tubes doesn't seem possible, or at least seems like, again, it's some sort of mutant power influence type thing. would be my
I don't know. I think the reveal at the end of the last episode is going to be that it all took place in the mind of a madman tap dancing on God's fingernail.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
By the way, I love the fact that we got super high before we typed the podcast. That was a nice touch.
What? Who's talking?
Me, bro.
I love smoking
weed.
I love you.
Yeah, I do think, though, that like, the cult, maybe with all the weird liquids and things that they're ingesting, helps to kind of like create and also a world where they can all live and be, you know, weird and shit.
A fun world to get fucked up on blue juice.
Yep.
So we go into, this is the world, once she crawls through the, like, late 90s Fiona Apple music video portion of the show, we enter, like, the swinging 60s guru legion era. He's making magic juice. There's a giant pig with smoke nipples. Squirrel, a dude named Squirrel is the alchemist. They got legion lunchboxes.
What do you think that pig tastes like? Pretty good, bacon. Right?
It's definitely, when they eventually make the Legion theme park, I can't wait to get a little taste of that smoky pig nipple.
It's probably like sucking on some bacon, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. That's an easy thing. I think it's going to be like just the opposite of that. Anti-bacon.
Anti-bacon? Brussels sprouts?
The opposite of bacon is Brussels sprouts, as we always have said on this podcast. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Again, we all know this. We don't need to review this because we talk about it every episode.
Exactly. And the opposite of apple juice is a bowler hat.
Yeah. Again, total agreement. I don't know why we keep saying things that we
don't need to remind
people.
Know. Exactly. It's in the lexicon.
Yes.
In the lexicon.
So she does end up in this cult. She meets a dude who I don't know if this is going to come out wrong. To me, he seemed like Asian Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa. Yeah. Just the way that he looked. Like, he looked like Jimmy Fallon, but clearly he was not Jimmy Fallon. He's like, and he came off like Jimmy Fallon playing a stoned dude. So,
I don't know. He wasn't all like, oh, I love you, man. Thanks for coming on my show. Everything you do is great. I love you.
It was crazy when they played beer pong to get through to the next room, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, when he said, hey, everybody, this is the Tonight Show with me, Asian Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, and then he invited out Asian Channing Tatum.
To promote what, Justin?
What? I don't know. Honestly, I couldn't name a
Gambit,
many
the new
Channing
Gambit
Tatum
movie.
Movies.
Oh, yeah. That officially got canceled, Pete.
Aw.
Wow, Pete, the one remaining holdout for the Gambit movie. Good job.
And he just sighed it away.
Oh,
that's why
man.
It's not getting made. They were hoping for one enthusiastic fan, and they didn't get him, which
they
was you, Pete.
Get Pete. Well, we got Pete, and then Channing Tatum was like, we lost Pete.
Yeah, Pete, you got to step up, and then you didn't.
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. My bad.
So
I found out my...
What?
I was going to step up, but then I found out my dad just has a room full of robots, and I got super sad.
Yeah.
Man, how apropos. Well, Pete, we meet a new character named the Breakfast Queen. How did you feel about her?
Yeah, definitely nod on our podcast. Nod yes, because that'll pick up on the audio.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to give any verbal responses. You know what I mean? I want to really keep people guessing. Got to keep it all non-verbs. You know what I mean?
Non-verbs.
Yep, absolutely. Keep it loose. Keep it fresh. Don't say anything on our audio podcast. So,
my mic picks up a lot of the gestures.
Oh, does it?
That I'm doing, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a very expensive, sensitive mic.
So, Switch, she's named Switch by Asian Jimmy Fallon and then insists on meeting the leader. Eventually, they bring in Lenny, who doesn't say she's not the leader, but is trying very hard to quiz Switch, who is having none of it. Now, this, again, is probably something maybe better saved for the end of the episode, but just because I'm thinking about it now, Switch is very focused on finding David and helping him. I think we know that there's something lacking in her life, like we talked about, but what is her motivation here? To me, it almost feels like there's something else going on with her that she is so passionate about helping David, about saving David, about finding out who he is. What do you think that is?
To me, it's hero worship. Like, and I think it's playing on the idea that we are meant to think that David's a hero. So Switch is like a more convinced version of us, the audience, that he's a hero. And we get to sort of watch him be a evil and also be a dick and be like, ah, Switch, no, I've been there. And you're doing it wrong now. So it sort of flips the audience surrogate character, and where our audience surrogate is us from like six episodes ago, and we're not happy.
What about you, Pete? Is that your same take?
Yeah.
Pete, no, do you have the same exact take as that?
No, I don't know how anybody could have that exact take. That was insane. I'm glad you smoked so much beforehand. But I think that, like...
Blue juice, baby. Blue I got that juice. Pig. I got that pig at my home.
Yeah, the only thing I smoked was a nice pork roast.
Oh,
that's fucked up, Alex.
I just felt like it was a lot for her to, like, see a flyer and then, like, completely up... you know, turn her life, but the kind of reveal that she's like, I'm doing stuff that has, I don't want anything to do with robots, and she doesn't think David's a robot, so like, it's, I don't know, that kind of explains it a little bit, but it is weird how all in she goes on David for what seems like not a good reason at the time.
Mm. Yeah, that was my take on it as well, is that maybe she's just... this is what she's needed. This is what she's passionate about. She needs to know about time travel, and this has given her a purpose. But to Justin's point, there seems to be a little more going on there in terms of her connection to David in particular. So we'll have to see how that goes.
If this happens to take place all inside David's brain, then I think she's just a smaller personality from his split personality thing, and he's the king personality right now, so of course she's subservient to him.
Let me throw it out to you guys. If it does turn out in the last episode of the show that everything was in fact taking place inside David Haller's mind, how would you feel about that?
I'm cool. It's all taking place in my mind, too.
Oh, nice.
It's like at the end of Inception and when they spun that top and then they were like, what do you think? And I was like, fuck that movie.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Max from Liquid Television, where you kind of at the end find out it's all been in this giant farmer's head the whole time, and it's kind of a little bit of a letdown. I would be a little let down if it was just all in his head and he's just drooling in a corner somewhere with a straitjacket on. That would kind of blow. But what's nice about us not knowing is we just get to enjoy this kind of creative, messed up ride right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fair
way. It could be that same farmer. That'd be pretty. It's almost on brand for it to be a reference to a 90s MTV cartoon that I feel like not a lot of people watched.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Max was awesome.
Getting back to Switch, she does finally get through to Lenny with the mention that she has time travel, and she ends up with David in David's chamber. And this is definitively, I think, something that is in David's mind, right? Like, he created this?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. That's why. Where's the line?
I don't know. I don't even know anymore, man.
He's blissed out. All
that
powerful.
That little trailer park looked like it was in Taylor Swift's new video. So maybe this is all in a Taylor Swift video.
That is the craziest reference I've ever heard you make, Pete.
Yeah.
Well, I figured you would like it because you love that shit.
Pete, have you been hanging out with a teenager for some reason? You didn't Google Taylor Swift new music video, did you?
No, dude. I'm all up on Tay Tay's new shit.
Wow.
Who are you?
Yeah, this is weird. Pete's turned evil.
Jesus, you need to calm down, dude.
Yeah, whatever person is impersonating Pete, you got the references wrong.
He's right. So anyway, Switch talks to David, and David gives us a nice little recap of what's previously happened on the show, which I thought was pretty cool. Like, actually unexpected for how much the show throws you in the deep end most of the time. For them to put something in the show that does get you caught up with everything that's happened previously, I thought was nice. Personally.
Yeah. I think the way, like, it sort of like didn't fill you in the direct way, and then it put you in well beyond when you normally would get involved in a TV show or the first episode of a new season of a TV show.
Yeah.
So it's like you're changing horses midstream.
Exactly.
Can we talk about the action in this episode?
Yeah. I mean, one of the other things that I really loved about this episode is how it grew and grew as it went on. You had that first half focusing on Switch, a character, as we mentioned, that you've never seen before. And then it just built in terms of the action and opened up and kept looping back to the same things over and over. The structure of this episode was so fantastic that by the end, when they finally reveal the credits for the show at the very last second, I was just chills all over my body when it happened. Yeah. And excellent.
You have the flu.
Yeah, I've been coughing a lot and haven't been sleeping very well.
Oh, good.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
This show is making you very sick.
Yes.
But I did love that. It was done in such a creative way, and we got to see different angles. So it was, different but the same each time. And also it was hilarious how the use of the hook, that giant, like, old stage hook that, like, old-timey, classically trained actors recognize, you know.
That's more of a vaudeville thing, Pete, but... I can walk you through it.
It was a cartoon, and that happened in the middle. That gets back to what I was saying at the beginning, where it's like there was a musical number of this episode. There was also, as far as we can tell, in continuity, Asian Jimmy Fallon comes outside. He's blissed out with some tea with David's blood or whatever is going on there.
And it's blue juice.
Blue juice.
It's the blue milk from Star Wars.
Oh, cool. And... then Division 3 attacks, and a hook comes out and grabs him so quickly that his teacup hangs in air, spins around a little bit, and then falls down like he's in a Looney Tunes cartoon.
It's great.
Absolutely fantastic.
That was glorious.
It's great. And we kept getting
to see it, too, which was so awesome.
So good. So they attack, and then they go down, and in the middle of the conversation with Switch and David, Division 3 attacks him, and he wipes them out in the most horrific way possible, which to me underlined the idea that they were making him into the villain pretty clearly.
Yeah.
But then he gets shot anyway, and Switch takes the opportunity to jump back in time, which is when we see her hallway. We also find out about the demon that lurks there. What do you think is going on with the demon? Do you think it's connected to, say, the demon with the yellow eyes or anything like that?
No, sure. I think it's sort of the nature of time travel. You can't fuck with it too much, or else there are just rules to it, and I think.
Have you ever read, or I think they did a film adaptation of this, Stephen King's The Langoliers?
The Langoliers, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking for sure.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know it, this is awesome, awesome story. Absolutely terrifying. And I think it's a plane accidentally travels back in time through maybe the Bermuda Triangle or something like that. And they discover that the past doesn't exist because there's these creatures that essentially eat the past and destroy it. That's how the story goes, right, Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it is something like that. I don't know, but...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. I'm excited to see how we follow that along, because I feel like David or somebody is going to end up in that hallway at some point, and we're going to find out what that demon is, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
To Pete's point, I love this action sequence when Carrie cuts his arm off. I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
Very well done. Really slick looking. So good. When Switch time travels and we get to see the scenes from a slightly different perspective, we see the second British David inside the room.
But each time it was so stressful because, like, we got to see people on our team get shot or die. It's heartbreaking every time. The Carrie's Aiden, yeah, I couldn't take it.
I mean, that's pretty upsetting too. But it's also one of the things that underlines is how broken the relationship is between David and everybody that he previously was working with. That they're not friends anymore. They're not going to be helping each other out. Other than Lenny, he has none of them, including Sid, who kills him at least twice in this episode.
Yeah, hell yeah, yeah, she does.
Yeah. And that's not something, I don't think we're going to come back from that. Like, I don't think there's going to be a heroic arc where David eventually proves himself. I think he's done, right?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be about, like, the aftermath of a romance, the way that's going to play out.
He took advantage of his girl, man. He's going down. That's just fucked up.
Yeah. So
so much so that they want to take him down that they're willing to have Amal Farouk be on their team and sort of leading the team.
And also, you can't tell her she's not going, because she's going to go every time and shoot the fuck out of David, which, you know, she deserves.
So the second time when Switch jumps back, we get to see her new power that we mentioned earlier. She fast forwards through her conversation with Letty, which is pretty hilarious. And then she manages to get through to David, telling him...
Oh, that's funny, because I always fast forward through the Lenny parts.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you,
man. I don't know what the deal of the character.
Yeah, so, I did the same thing on Parks and Recreation. I was just like, I'm good. Let's get back to whatever that boyfriend guy was on season one.
Yeah, yeah. Who was that poor bastard?
I don't know. That poor guy. I feel bad for him constantly. He's like the fifth Beatle.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's sort of the fifth Chris in a lot of ways, too.
So she fast forwards. She gets back. She manages to convince David that there is going to be an attack, even though he can't hear their minds. Then we get another amazing action sequence as they go upstairs and Division 3 is attacking. And it's all essentially done in one shot. I was blown away by the effects of this, that they did like a all-in-one classic Marvel TV hallway shot fight scene, but with David freezing people and putting them in walls and melting them and disintegrating them and everything.
Yeah.
So absolutely cool. Amazing. Him coming face to face with Amal Farouk, only for Amal to be tackled by a couple of cult members. Also amazing. Like, the whole thing, the whole way it was staged was so superb and so beyond action sequences that you'll see on any other show.
Yeah, I agree. Very well done.
Yeah, it was so creative and so fantastic because it was like also different from what we've seen before. So it was very much the edge of your seat of like, oh crap, what's going to happen now? You know, is this going to be the one that sticks? Is this the time that they're not going to go back to, or is this going to get rewound again? So it was really interesting how they did that.
Well, yeah. let me ask you a question then. Given that we know David is the villain and should be taken down, shouldn't we be rooting against Switch? Shouldn't we be rooting against her reversing time and saving David?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's why it's such an interesting choice that they started with Switch and we follow her and we're sort of like, oh, I sort of liked you, but now you're rooting for the bad guy. The Legion, we used to like him, and now he's the bad guy. I think it's just mixing up our expectations, and we don't know what's going to happen. Plus, she's it's like, get her a dentist. She needs a dentist.
Wait, what do you mean?
She has a tooth that's something. She keeps touching her tooth.
She has to, like, move her, touch her teeth to try and travel. She's going to run out of teeth eventually.
Well, have you tried touching your teeth to see if you have that same power?
I still have my baby teeth.
Oh, that's right. You still have your baby teeth. That's you have those tiny little baby teeth.
They're going to fall out eventually.
Yeah, and that's not something anybody notices about you or thinks is weird. It's totally normal.
And it's definitely something we shouldn't call you.
The Tooth Fairy is going to come, right? Oh, the Tooth Fairy is going to come, though, right?
I think the Tooth Fairy is going to start showing up with pliers. Because you're overdue, son.
Oh, man. Can't wait. Can't wait to get those sweet quarters under my pillow.
Oh, wow.
Quarters. Oh, I forgot. What year were you born? 1930, during the Great Depression.
Yeah, 1932.
Wow.
It's great, man.
Film had just started. The Great War hadn't begun yet.
Oh, boy.
It's a good time.
I think what we have to have happen is she needs David to fight her dad and all of her dad's evil robots. So I think
I don't know that he has robots. I mean, maybe he has robots, but there's certainly something weird going on there.
Yeah.
But to get back to the show, though, so David does fail again. He's killed by Sid again, and Switch falls through her time portal. And this time she's hijacked by Amal Farouk, who knows she's traveling through time and brings her to a tea party, as one does. I love this scene for a lot of different reasons, not least of which was Amal Farouk laying himself out as David's very much opposite. But also the physicality that Lauren Tsai used in that scene. She's like, she's a tall woman who is acting too tall for her body, and she's hunched over the entire time and looks ready to pounce. Like, the entire time she is ready to do something. And I thought that was such an interesting directing and acting choice in particular.
Yeah, especially the way she gets out of the scene when she turns the tea tray into the time-traveling box. I think that paid it off for me. Like, she was ready to spring and saw her opportunity and went for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool.
It's great. And then we switch perspective onto Division 3, and we find out what's going on with them. And it turns out a lot of stuff. First of all, Carrie is...
I think you said that wrong.
No, it's Carrie, not Carrie.
You know who we're talking about, right, Pete?
Yeah, the one that's now a robot.
Nope, that's Tonami. You're that's Tonami. Very far off. Reconstitutes Tonami. Yeah. And in fact, as you mentioned, builds Tonami again, gives him a face of robot. There's a very funny moment there where clearly the actor grew a mustache or something like that.
Yeah.
And Carrie asks Carrie, hey, why does he have a mustache? And Bill Irwin's delivery on that line where he's like, I don't know.
So funny.
So good. But Tani comes back, and what do you think his role is now? Because he was definitely this side element of the show for the past two seasons, but bring him back in this way, he almost seems to be taking the place of Admiral Fukuyama in a way.
Yeah, or like, I think he's R2-D2.
What?
What he's do you mean? He's a robot who helps.
He's a great character. I'm glad he's going to be around more. I always felt like he was underused, so I'm hoping for some good stuff with him moving forward.
I mean, it's possible. I don't know if this is the direction of the show going, but it's possible that setting him up this way brings him on a collision course with Switch, because he's a robot and Switch hates robots, so I could certainly see the two of them clashing.
Yeah.
But Tonami is now leading their dirigible airship that they're flying around in. There's also an interesting conversation that Amal Farouk and Sid have, where Amal talks about who is the hero and who is the villain. Isn't it interesting that they've twisted things around? I like that quite a bit. Do you guys now ship Shadow Sid?
Nope.
Yeah, me either. They're flying around in an evil, like, lair. It's hard to be like, yeah, you guys are definitely the good guys.
I don't know.
Sid
it's
does
striped.
Not look
it's
happy,
both black
man.
And
she
white.
Looks like she's caged
it's
up.
It's cool. They've had a tough time.
Yeah, this has been super rough on Sid. She had to appear for a couple of episodes on The Society. It's been a hard time for her.
Yeah, what a nightmare. She had to switch roles with someone in playing in a mediocre Netflix teen drama.
Yeah.
Hey.
No. It is a mediocre Netflix teen drama. It's also very confusing because she is supposed to be a teenager, and she's like, granted, the actress, Rachel Keller, is in her mid-20s, so it's not unheard of to her to be playing a teen, but everybody else looks at least like 15 years younger than her.
They gave her bangs. It was perfect. It was movie magic.
So that they lead an attack, and we get to see the attack from their perspective. Again, we see the teacup thing with Asian Jimmy Fallon. It's a lot of fun. And this time, Switch finally manages to convince David of what's going on. And by the time they get there, he has made the entire compound disappear. And we end with
smart that. Smart move.
Yeah, we end with that incredible shot of Sid looking down at what's happening, seeing the tooth that has dropped out of Switch's mouth, and then we get the shot of the Legion credits with the robots of Switch. So maybe Switch is in fact the robot. What do you think?
Oh, a toothy robot.
Yeah. Like
I think Switch is real. You could tell by the way she crawled through tubes. No human could do, or no robot could do that.
I don't know. If you think about not R2-D2, but C-3PO, in the original cut of Star Wars before George Lucas went back and did the special editions, C-3PO had teeth.
Yeah, that's my Star Wars.
Yeah.
C-3PO with teeth. Yeah, I think actually all the droids had teeth. R2-D2 had a bunch of teeth around his little projector.
That's right, I remember that.
Circle.
When Luke is like fiddling with R2-D2 and he's like, oh, he's got some blaster burns here or something, he just pulls out a crazy amount of teeth out of R2-D2.
Blaster burns and a bunch of fucking teeth. They swore more in the original one, too.
Yeah.
If you strike me down, I'll be more fucking powerful than you possibly
now. Now that's the cut I want to see.
You piece of shit.
Luke, I'm your fucking father.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Man. Oh, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, swearing's cool.
Luke. Sure fucking is.
Luke, suck my dick.
What? What the fuck?
That's in the original script. The original script.
Yeah, that's why Harrison Ford said that famous phrase. He was like, George Lucas, you could write this shit, but I can't fucking read it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how he was a cabinet maker.
Yeah. So speaking of cabinet makers, or rather not at all, let's talk about this episode as a whole. What are you thinking going forward? I mean, I feel like this is a unpredictable show. Next episode could be like sitcom style and we'd have no idea, right?
I'm down. I think they could start in a completely different place and come at this in a completely different way. This whole series could be an season could be an anthology. I'm down with it.
Yeah.
It's just it's such a crapshoot in such a glorious way. It's really fun to see what they do. I mean,
crapshoot.
Yeah. Even the end credits, I was just applauding. It was just so much fun.
Great music.
It's great. Such a good show. Can't wait for the rest of the season. Before we end, what was real? What was not real? Pete, you want to hit us first? What was real? What was not real?
Okay, obviously, anytime there's a song and dance number in a floating, swaying, clothing dry cleaner shop, that's totes real. That's what happens every time I go to do my laundry. So
sure, sure.
That's the only real part in the whole episode.
Oh, he is huffing dry cleaner chemicals every time he goes to get his clothes cleaned. I tell you what, I was on board at the start of this podcast with it's all real, and now I think it's all inside David's head.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
That's a big switch. I switched. I'm Switch.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to say the crawling through tubes, as I mentioned earlier, that's not real. That's something that's happening in the mind. But the rest of it, I don't know. I mean, obviously, like the conversation Amal Farouk was happening with Switch was happening in Amal's mind. That was certainly a hijack happening there. He created his own space. But I think the rest of it is real. I don't know. I'm going to be a little disappointed if, like Pete said, we cut back at the end of the series and it's David and it's all been taking place in his mind. That would be a little disappointing to me. Obviously, like, I'm still on board and they'll probably execute it well, but I hope that's not the ending of the show.
I mean, I don't think they would end it that hard on that idea. If anything, I think it'll just be totally up in the air. I feel like we could easily have a reveal where Legion already won. He already destroyed the world and Division 3 is like sort of like the Matrix, flying around in a ship, desperately trying to stay alive and win one and try to kill him one last time for good.
Sort of like a Snowpiercer situation.
Yeah because the way Legion is acting is like he has a swinging 60s cult. Like he's already won in some ways. Feels like.
Yeah,
I think where it's really taking place is you're going to see like. A prom ending and you kind of like pan out and you see a janitor that's actually a gumball machine. And just before he like closes the door, he kind of like cries a little gumball and it's all inside his head.
Well, you said a janitor that's also a gumball machine.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Is this a reference to something?
That sounds crazy.
Pete? Answer the question, Pete.
No, it's not a reference to something. I think that's where the show is taking place.
Pete was the highest of one of all of us, I guess.
And the gumball machine is like, you're looking at me all wrong. That's the wrong tone.
Yeah. Actually, I will mention, at my high school, our janitor was a gumball machine.
See?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Good reference, Pete.
Thanks. Thanks for referencing my high school. If you'd like to support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we'll chat with you about Legion. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. And we'll see you inside Legion.
Yeah.